Okay, so this is session 7 in Believe. It's what about trials, discipline, and tempering. So our introduction is, do bad things happen to Christians? It can seem so. However, there is a difference in how the believer reacts to negative circumstances. Before you were thrown about by life's circumstances, like a leaf caught in a funnel cloud, now the Holy Spirit trains us to respond to circumstances like eagles respond to headwinds and thermal drafts. He causes us to set our wings to rise. So let's talk about trials. Trials come to the Christian same as anyone else. Hannah, will you read Matthew 5 and 45, please?
Matthew 5:45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, because he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
Okay, so point number 2 is the difference for us is trials will not harm us. They actually make us better when we employ our faith and talk with God about them. Asia?
Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
So James admonishes us to think of it as a joyful thing when trials come, because it will produce patience in us, which is James 1 and 4. When things that are unpleasant to our flesh or our old nature come into our lives, it will have the effect of crucifying our fleshly desires. Trials will expose weaknesses in our faith and character, weaken the flesh, train us in godliness, produce patience, and strengthen our faith. So how? Know that you are not the first one to experience being seized by temptation. You are not alone. God has promised there is a way out.
1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. New International.
So keep an eternal perspective.
2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all.
The troubles of this life are temporary. How you spend the rest of your eternity depends on how you choose to respond to troubles in this life now.
2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
You are making deposits into your eternal account. There will be rewards for your actions now.
Matthew 6:1-2. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost then alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
So remember, your eternal life is invested in now, and you must fight for it. Don't be so quick to give up.
1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Remember who fights for you, and consider the source of the problem. Are you battling a defeated foe? He will not win, you do. So don't let him trick you into letting go of the reward that comes from holding fast to your faith.
Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them.
So you sow seed. Sow seeds of compassion, goodness, and gentleness. You reap the harvest of spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit.
John 4:36, even now, The reaper draws his wages.
Mm-hmm.
Even now he harvests the crops for eternal life, so that the sorrow and the reaper may be glad together.
The time to plant is when you recognize the need for a harvest. If someone's hurting you, then you need a harvest of mercy or compassion. Give, and it will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Has someone stolen from you? Then you need a harvest of righteousness. Sow seeds of doing the right thing, no matter the cost. Do you have any questions about that? Is that kind of... Or you want to talk after we... Okay. All right, so I'm going to read the scripture there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 1 Peter 3, 14 through 17. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither their doubt, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing.
God will give you what you need to prevail.
1 Corinthians 11:32, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being discipled so that we will not be condemned with the world.
2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind.
So discipline. God corrects those he loves.
Hebrews 12:5-7, and you have forgot that word of encouragement that addresses you as son. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father?
So tempering, we need endurance and self-control. Our Father will turn bad things to our benefit as we yield to his training. We learn to hold on till the answer comes. We learn to trust no matter what circumstances bring. Our faith is strengthened as we trust his leading through the trial. It's like spiritual boot camp, and it won't last forever.
Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.